glad you're here for worship today. We are purposefully starting a little bit late this morning so that we can make some announcements. And our idea was to have that more people, everybody would be here. And we're going to count on some more coming in at this point. But I am very happy that you are here and glad that we get to worship God together. We share in Holy Communion table today, and all persons here are welcome to join and participate. Your guest, we're still happy to welcome you to the table because it's not ours, it's Christ's table. Boy, our basketball team has had a fun season and finished yesterday over in Prosper, and wow, what a stellar season those guys have had. It's been really fun to watch, and we've got a couple of them that are connected with our congregation, so congratulations on a wonderful season. I have some announcements to share with you, and I want you to know that we have pancakes on Tuesday. These are details in your bulletin. We got pancakes on Tuesday, Ash Wednesday service in the chapel on Wednesday at 6, and a potluck lunch on Thursday, on the regular first Thursday of each month. So those things are in your bulletin. Please pay attention to the details and jump into those things that you can. And now as we begin our worship time, Brian and Carol and I have an announcement to share with you about the general conference activities of this previous week or two and our response to that. So let me get a stand here. And we wanted to just share honestly and openly with you as we begin our worship. Some of you have probably been disturbed by some news that you've heard. Our general conference is a worldwide gathering. It is a very diverse group, and it's very difficult to find the ways that we can absolutely agree on everything. In fact, it's just impossible, I think, that we would be able to do that. However, there have been some disappointing results from our work. If you heard our sermon last Sunday, I am an advocate of including all people at the table of Christ and in our worship and in our congregation and at our tables at home. And our United Methodist Church is large and very diverse. And I have prepared something to say to you. And then Carol Walker, our lay leader, is going to read a letter from our bishop. Bishop McKee, and then Brian's going to get to share a moment. And just, I wanted to hear our hearts beating on all these issues, so we stand together. We United Methodists worldwide just can't seem to agree about the ways that we accept and include all people in the life and ministry of the church. It is a big world and diverse. It's important that we share today as we gather for worship and to prepare to come to the table. It's not for me to judge another, whether I might judge them good or right, or whether I might judge them terribly wrong is unjust and not very important. Judging others is not my business, it's God's business. But our collective decision through the United Methodist General Conference decision does place judgment upon others. And it does do great harm, I think, to the United Methodist Church and to those whom we serve inside and outside the church. In fact, it builds walls instead of bridges. All of us are sinners in need of God's grace. The business of the church is to welcome all, and that is what we will continue to do here and in almost every place I know of across the North Texas Conference of the United Methodist Church. To welcome all to the table of God's grace and toward discipleship with Jesus Christ, to welcome all to worship, to study, to serve, to learn together, and to walk the steps of faith together. Without judging, we will call one another to grow closer to God in the community of faith and at our Wesleyan campus ministry and here at First United Methodist Church of Commerce. So, while we grow toward a better understanding and greater love as a worldwide expression of the church, let us continue here to spread the word that all are welcome and loved. Carol?
Good morning. The day after the General Conference, Bishop McKee wrote a letter to all the churches in the North Texas Conference and asked that his letter be shared with you, and it is my privilege this morning to read it to you. It's dated February 27th. It begins, "Friends. On Tuesday, the special call General Conference in St. Louis came to a close. The one church plan developed by the Commission on a Way Forward and supported by an overwhelming majority of the bishops and myself did not pass. Instead, an amended version of the traditional plan passed by a vote of 438 to 384. This contentious vote and the tenor of the General Conference overall clearly confirmed that the global United Methodist Church is not of one mind about the best way to move forward with regard to human sexuality and the ministry with and by LGBTQ persons. The days in St. Louis were painful in many ways, particularly for members of the LGBTQ community and their allies. To the LGBTQ persons in our churches and communities, I want to say that no legislation will change my conviction that you are beloved children of God and that you can count on the churches of North Texas to continue to be welcoming and safe places for you. Throughout the General Conference, I was heartened by the fact that nearly half of the delegates and the vast majority of my colleagues, as well as hundreds of observers in the stands, still support unity, being in loving and respectful connection with others, even those with whom we disagree, and offering a grace-filled witness to the whole world. This understanding of who the church is called to be is what I have witnessed in North Texas. I intend to continue to lead our conference in this spirit, and I have an unwavering hope that God will continue to do great things in North Texas. It is important to say that the full implications of the traditional plan and other petitions passed at General Conference this week remain to be seen. It will take some time for the dust to settle. What it all will mean for the North Texas Conference is a story still to be written. My deepest hope is that this is a story that we, progressives, evangelicals, and centrists will write together. Together, all of us who are a part of the North Texas Conference can write our story's next chapter, a chapter about a fruitful ministry of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. I pray that God will continue to bless your ministry. Peace. Mike McKee.
Still a very difficult thing to talk about and process for many of us.
Here you go. Try. I turned it on.
This is still a very difficult thing for many of us, clergy and laity, to process and talk about. I want to tell you personally, as an elder in ministry with a large number of LGBT Christians who have found a home at the Wesleyan because we are a place that does not judge, that my heart is still broken and grieving because I have been in conversation with those beloved children of God, and I grieve alongside them for our church's lack of inclusivity. Yet I am proud to serve in this church and the Wesleyan that has open hearts and open minds and open doors, and I am humbled and honored to be alongside gifted Christians who just so happen to be in the LGBTQIA community. And so I want to reassure all of the Wesleyan supporters, everyone in this church and across the street, that no General Conference decision can separate us from the love of Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
That each and every one of us, regardless of how we identify in our orientations, are beloved children of God. And we will still be valued and lifted up as sacred people. I would encourage all of us, whether we are happy about the decision the General Conference made, or upset, or somewhere in between, or still trying to figure it out, that we are all children of God, no matter traditional or centrist or progressive, and that we are all still, on this morning, the United Methodist Church. That John Wesley himself said, can we not be of different mind, but be of the same heart and join hands in ministry? Of course we can. And so our mission has not changed. We are still called to welcome all people in the name and the love of Jesus the Christ. We are still called to make disciples of all people, of all nations, of all different groups. And for me personally, if anything, this decision just means it's even more important to truly be a faith community that welcomes all people. To truly be a faith community that no matter who walks in the door, we embrace them in the love of Jesus the Christ. I do want to point out a few details in the bishop's letter and what Pastor Sam has said to help us acknowledge that even though the traditionalist plan was passed, about 67% of the U.S. delegates supported the One Church plan. That would have allowed for contextual differences, that would have allowed for each church to make their own decisions or not. The decision to pass the traditionalist plan was largely because of our African sisters and brothers who have a totally different understanding of human sexuality, who have a totally different culture, who have totally different laws. And so as a global church, this decision was made. However, the Judicial Council has already pointed out that many elements of the traditional plan are unconstitutional, meaning that they are not in line with our Book of Discipline. That is incredibly important to remember. The Judicial Council, which is like our Supreme Court, will meet again April 23rd through 26th. So we are still in a waiting process to see exactly how all of these new legislations will affect us or will not affect us. But two-thirds of the traditional plan was ruled unconstitutional. So we are still unsure what the practical aspects of this plan will be to the local churches. And I pray, and we all pray together, that we may all be patient, as the bishop said, till the dust settles. Let us not make any knee-jerk reactions. We are still Methodists. We are still in this together. And so we all pray that we may move forward together, acknowledging everyone's sacred worth, and as following in the footsteps of Jesus, love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Let us go into worship.
And so let us take our first steps in prayer. Let us pray together. God, we ask your blessing and your wisdom and your grace. We see such evidence of your gifts and your love in one another. Even in our diversities, we find those unique qualities to be gifts. God, help us to be generous. Help us to find our way forward as a church, even globally, as great of a challenge as that is. Help us to get it right and to follow you, to trust you, and to trust the way forward with you. And to trust and love all those who would cross our paths or whose paths we might cross as we get along toward your kingdom. ultimately. God, let us pray with Jesus the Lord, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So be it. Amen.
Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus the Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Christ,
you are forgiven. Glory to God. Now please join in singing number 399.
Thank you.
Ushers may come forward and let us all join in prayer. Gracious God, we humbly turn to you, for you have given us all of our blessings, Lord, and we pray that we may now humbly give back to you so others may know this love that we have found in the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. On our prayer list this morning, we have a condolence for the family of Billy Mills. We continue to pray for our brother Tom Dudley, for Larry Eldridge. We lift up Danny House, who had a massive stroke, is now in the ICU at Baylor downtown. Prayers for him and his family, for his wife Elva and his daughter Maria. Are there other prayers to bring before one another and before God? Yes, Judy. Wonderful, for a new grandniece and for a grandson's birthday. Let us turn to God in prayer. God of us all, we give you thanks for this opportunity to come together as one family and to worship you. Lord, we lift up all those who are sick and all on our hearts, all those who grieve, and all those who are hurt. We pray for the family of Billy Mills, for Tom Dudley and Larry Eldridge. We pray for Danny House, for your healing to be upon all of them, Lord. And for your healing to be upon our own brokenness this day, that you may guide us towards perfection and show us a better way to love one another. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
If you take out your pew Bibles and turn to page 65, our reading this morning is from Luke chapter 9, verse 28 through 36, entitled The Transfiguration. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, were talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he said, while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things that they had seen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you. I'd like to share with you this morning in this eighth title of the items that some call the fruit of the Spirit. This one is called gentleness, and I have decided not to read that Proverbs text, but rather to just remember our text that was read earlier, and also to share with you that gentleness is about stirring up peace. And I kind of like that image. You know, we usually think of stirring things up as stirring up conflict or something, but how can we stir up peace? I like that title, and I'd like to just talk about gentleness and humility. Gentleness is not weakness. The truly meek person is one whose life has been empowered in God and has been energized by the Word of God. Jesus described himself as being gentle and humble in heart in Matthew 11. He was not without humility, as powerful as he was, Son of God. He was not without humility. I'd like to share with you a story about a bunch of wild horses. This story is by a pastor named Robert Strand that I have been reading some lately and been working with his thoughts and my own to prepare for teaching these elements of the fruit of the Spirit. He tells this story. I lived in Colorado, and while I was there, I was privileged to watch a bunch of wild horses that had been rounded up and culled out of one of the last of the free-roaming wild horse herds in America. They were unloaded from their trailers into a corral, and as they were being handled, there was much wild-eyed looking about, bucking and running and not knowing what to expect. Because they were wild animals, totally untamed, and really at that point not of much value, they were being prepared for adoption. For a small fee, and the proof that you could care for one of these, and that you had some land on which you could pasture them, anybody could adopt and train a wild Mustang. They were beautiful to look at. He goes on to say, later I had the privilege of riding one of those Mustangs, which had been broken, had been tamed to accept a saddle and a bridle and a rider. This horse had been meeked. It had been gentled so as to behave in a certain acceptable manner. It neck reined perfectly. In fact, it had become meek enough that a little child could ride it. However, at no time had this Mustang lost its power to run or carry a rider or work cattle. What a picture of gentleness, not weakness, but strength under discipline, strength under control, strength brought to its senses. So the point is that meekness, or what some translations call gentleness, meekness is not weakness. It is the opposite. It is strength under discipline, strength under control. So when our attitude toward God is that kind of meekness, then our attitude toward others will reflect God's Spirit, a spirit of peace and hope, a spirit of gentleness. Meekness is, first of all, our attitude toward God more than toward people. When our attitude toward God is that of meekness, then our attitude toward God will reflect and people will reflect the same spirit consistently. So gentleness is not to be confused with weakness. Jesus, we call it the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Jesus rode in on a donkey. You can't get more gentle than that. A colt, a young donkey even, one that probably had not ever been ridden. It was truly a sign of peace, not a sign of power or triumph. It was not a heroic white steed that Jesus rode on, but a humble donkey. And then there were the palm branches and the cloaks that laid on that donkey's back and on the road where they walked. It was not an entry of Jerusalem. In spite of that, we call it a triumphal entry. It was not an entry that was a conquering one. Unless you can conquer people with peace. But the people were mystified. Who is this, they thought. The whole city was in turmoil and they had never seen anything like it before. This man who has taught and loved so many now rides into the great city of Jerusalem on a humble donkey. And the crowd spread palm branches before him. Definitely a sign of gentleness, a sign of peace. And that kind of peace is not to be confused with weakness. Because you see, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. The control of the spirit. It's a kind of non-anxious confidence. And that is truly a fruit of the spirit. The person who has really been gentled by God, who is in the image of God in meekness, is one who can be directed by God. One who can be led peacefully, without struggle. Why is it that many people tend to equate a gentle person with a weak person? Not weak, but meek. What was the impact of the palms and the peace on the city of Jerusalem? Well, it got things stirred up. And that's odd, you know, because Jerusalem, the two parts of that word, Yeru and Shalom or Salem, literally mean city and peace. Shalom, we know that word, don't we? We use that word some. We see it on cards. Shalom, it means peace to you. That's where the word Salem comes from, that makes Jerusalem. And Yeru simply means city. So city of peace. Why would they greet him with palm branches? Well, the early church used palm branches to express the triumph of the Christian over death through resurrection. And palms were typically used to welcome visitors into a city. So it's not surprising that they used them to welcome Jesus. Maybe they were a fickle crowd, I don't know. Maybe they were swayed by the palm branches or blown about by the winds of doctrine. Maybe they were just following suit with what the others were doing. But they waved palm branches and welcomed Jesus. Gently. And Jesus rode on that donkey with palms spread on its back. A peaceful way to enter a city. Pictures like that teach us about gentleness in the ways that words could not. Words have impact, Words spoken have power that can never be taken back. They're remembered. But a picture's worth a thousand words. Alongside the most loving words that have ever been said to you, I imagine that you also remember the hateful or angry ones. Because you see, words have power. Power to name our thoughts and feelings and blessings and cursings and prayers. But words said can never really be taken back. Somebody said one time, I hope you never have to eat your words, because they may not taste very good. But in the Proverbs, we have this quote, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold on platters of silver. That's a memorable image. Words can be used in blessing or in cursing. In blessing a person or in causing harm. Jesus cursed the fig tree and it withered up and died right there. Is that what we want for our words? To have that kind of effect? Is that what we want for our teachers and students and children and parents? Or for ourselves? Words, once they're out there, can really not ever be taken back. We can try to sweep them up and gather them. But like the grains of salt or the grains of sand, you can never get them all to come back. So let us speak words gently, for words have impact. Let us use our words for blessing. Words are decisive. We can say yes or no. We can say come or go. I do or I don't. Or words as spoken in creation by God Himself. Let there be light. Jesus' words, come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. And a yoke is both a burden and a control so that we can be guided by Him. Steering. And boy, don't we need steering. Our tongues need steering. Our tongue should come with a steering wheel. Even then, we might go off the road sometimes. But Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. And learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. And in me you will find rest for your souls. I call you as we finish our service today with the very presence of Christ at this table. I call on you to stir up peace in your world. We know how to stir up conflict. Let's stir up some peace. How do you do that? How do you stir up the peace? You speak of it. You live in it. And you invite others to join you in living in it. So, today as we come to the table, let us come here expecting to find strength, but also expecting to find gentleness as a part of the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in us.
This is the table of Jesus the Christ. This is not a United Methodist table. This is God's table. And so all children who repent of their sins and earnestly hope to live in peace and reconciliation with one another are welcome. Now, if you'll turn in your bulletins and join in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity and made covenant to be our sovereign God and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
So this Christ, the light of the world, whose face glowed in the manger, whose face glowed in the transfiguration, and whose face glowed as he prayed in the garden, this Christ is the one who is self-giving and who serves us even as we serve him now. On the night that Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, and he gave thanks to you and broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said to them, "Take and eat, for this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
When the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to God, gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for the many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of this in remembrance of me."
And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Jesus the Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
And now with the confidence of children of God, let us pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Because there is one loaf, we, though we are many, are one in the body of Christ, our risen Lord.
The cup over which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Jesus the Christ.
So these are the gifts of God for all the people of God. Please come as you're ready and come to either side of the altar rail as we prepare to come and feast at the table of the Lord. Everyone is welcome. Please come as you're ready and as the ushers lead you. mystery in which you have given yourself to us. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength and power of your Holy Spirit to give ourselves for others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our hymn of invitation is number 159, Lift High the Cross. Let us sing the first and last verses. And let us do that now. And if today is a day for you to come and join this congregation, or for you to profess your faith in a new or first time way, we would welcome getting to share that moment with you and to pray with you. If you would come forward as we sing these two verses. So we have loved and hopefully made ourselves ready to love people outside these doors and welcome them in. Go in the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the power of His Holy Spirit. Amen.